Second Timothy 3 and verse 15. And I promise, child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we are studying the subject of salvation, soul grace salvation. And we said that he analyzed the entire Old Testament books to be the study of salvation. From a child you have known, which is the word hechido. Hechido means to remember or to appreciate something, to know the value, if you can add that, of what an information carries. Then in verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So, which is useful, which is the word of Philemon, it's useful for teaching, where you have to explain. And then he talks about persuasion, or what you can call reproof or evidence, elecho, E-L-E-G-C-H-O. Then he says for correction, which we call to strengthen, epanathosis, to strengthen, to put things in their right place. And the final word will be, and this is what we want to look at briefly, he says for instruction in righteousness, which we can put out, for child training. That's the right word. Padea means child training. When you use that word padea, P-A-I-D-E-A, when you use that, you have two words in mind. You have the word pais, P-A-I-S, used for a child, a young person. And that's a key fact there. So he's saying that the teaching of salvation is the meal for growth. The teaching of salvation, the explanation of salvation, is the food for spiritual growth. This is the word padia, which is, he said, from the word pais, P-A-I-S. So by mentioning that, Paul reinforces the father fact of spiritual growth. So spiritual growth, therefore, will be seen as a father tendering or nurturing his children. So the teaching of salvation from the Old Testament will be seen as the father nurturing his children. You can't take away, you can't say padre and there is no father. So that means in this teaching of salvation, you must emphasize the fatherhood of God. And that's why you look at the entire Pauline epistles, you will always see the father fact. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You will not see any of those letters where the father fact of God is not in the introduction and also mentioned in the body of the letter. You find the same thing in 1st Peter, where he says, talks about we're born, 1st Peter 1 and verse 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, the same thing. You see the father fact emphasized. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift. Jude, that the father fact of God is in all the epistles. 1 John 1, 2, and 3. He says our fellowship is with the Father. So that fact is the instruction in righteousness. So therefore, when we teach from the doctrine of salvation to promote spiritual growth, we must not teach it from a slave-master relationship. You mustn't teach it from, you are instructing, maybe you are talking from a commander-in-chief and then his troops. Spiritual growth is not that. Spiritual growth is a development in the salvation that we have received. And so in that salvation, the father fact of God is important. That's why he said padio. So that means, you can write this down, this teaching of salvation must involve our paternity. Because the word father means pater, P-A-T-R, your ancestor or someone who is responsible for you, your progenitor, pater. Paternity, that's what we have paternity. Also must talk about our sonship. So those are crucial details in the teaching of salvation. The fact that God is our Father and we are His children. You can't teach salvation without explaining that fact. So doctrine of salvation is not just about the fact that your sins are forgiven and then you are now saved, then what next? You know, it goes into training into that truth and that reality. Anyway, that said, so it's all in teaching. Don't forget the didaskalos, that is, you explain it. So in salvation, how is God our Father? What is His role? All that are explained in the doctrine of salvation. So that must be sorted in our minds. So that's why it appears like, why are we still teaching salvation now? I mean, is it not clear that we are saved? 1 Timothy 1:15. I'll be fine. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy 1:15. That Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yesterday we looked at the word into this world. Can you remember that? Was it yesterday? Okay, don't forget that. And when you say of whom I am chief, that's clear to us now. Okay, that was what I was before. Note that. So he says, he calls the gospel in verse 11, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, the gospel, the glorious blessed, the gospel of the glorious blessed God, oh, sorry, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, Paul becomes a preacher of the message. Notice again how he becomes a preacher of the message. By the same element of that message. It says, he enabled me, called me, and counted me faithful. Again, he calls, being called to preach the message, the work of Christ. And that follows the doctrine that salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. Notice that. So, it says that by saying the glorious or the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Now, God is not the preacher. So when I say the gospel of the blessed God, that means the content of the news is God. So He is the content of the news. And by using the term gospel, it means a news is announced. Something is announced about God. And it is found in the gospel. Don't forget that this gospel, which is the doctrine of salvation, is an explanation from where? The Old Testament. So Jesus, we're going to see this more clearly on Thursday. Jesus did not explain the Father outside the same Genesis to Malachi. All he did was to lift the veil. So, the gospel is from Genesis to Malachi. Romans 1:1. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, or called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice that. The gospel of God means that God is the message. The gospel of God, which He had promised before. which he had promised before, where? That his prophets were in the Holy Scriptures, referring to Genesis to Malachi. So we will see his character in his promises in the Old Testament. So, where can we find this gospel? Genesis to where? Malachi. The gospel is Genesis to Malachi, or is found, better put, in Genesis to Malachi, because it was by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, it says in verse 3, concerning his son, which is the Greek word peri, Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the incarnation. And then verse 4 says, he was marked out or declared the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness according to the resurrection from the dead. So, in other words, the news is about God, but it's concerning the Son. Now, when you have the word concerning, is the Greek word peri. Peri means the arrival point, where we converge. I want to talk about God, then I converge all my facts in the Son. So, by saying the gospel of Christ, we are still referring to the gospel of God. Only that God is found where? In the Son. So it's the gospel. So that shows us something. That the gospel, to the glory of God, we find salvation in it. But the gospel is information about God. Correct, accurate information about God is found in the gospel. So, a diligent student of God's word will study the Old Testament to look for the gospel. The gospel becomes the light of the Old Testament. In him is no darkness at all. Becomes the light, or is the light, of the Old Testament. So, the gospel of God, which was promised with the speaking of the prophets concerning his son. So, the facts about God, they converge on Christ. That's why in Romans 1:16, it now says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ announces who? God. Is it clear? The gospel of Christ announces God. Now, go back to 1 Timothy 1:10. So the gospel, therefore, will be the consistent facts about God from Genesis. Is it clear? The consistent facts about God from Genesis. That will mean, look at me, let me show you something. That means every correct fact about God says. Every correct information about God brings salvation. It's not until Jesus rose from the dead. There was a full disclosure. We are going to see that because I want us to sort this out before Thursday. Then I'll ask for 3 days. There will be 3 days that we will need to now take salvation in a way that you will love your Savior. But let's get the facts right. When we get the facts right, we will now pick salvation. And then you will see how saved you are. Because you have to see. You know, when we started this series in 2008 or so, we said, you will see the length, the breadth, the width, and the depth of salvation. Can you remember that? That's how we started. And that's the dimension by which we want to approach. We have some years to go. Amen. Praise God. Now look at this. Go back to 1 Timothy 1. Alright, so we said the facts, so the gospel will be a consistent set of facts about God from Genesis. Okay? It's a consistent set of facts about God. So when we say the Bible is Christocentric, yes, it is also God-centric. Is that okay? The Christocentricity of Scripture is to show who God is. That's the point. When we say the Bible is Christocentric, it is to show who God is. That Christocentric nature of the Bible is the gospel. Now, go back to 1 Timothy 1. So can we say that Christ is the substance of that revelation? Is that correct to say that? Okay. 1 Timothy 1. So he calls sound doctrine that glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he calls sound doctrine. He says that in verse 11. He says that is contrary to sound doctrine. Because he has said to Timothy in verse 3 that they should teach no other doctrine, which is the word heteros didaskaleo. Heteros didaskaleo, which we have seen, means other than this. Now, please look at something I'm going to show you. Those who were teaching heteros doctrine, where are they teaching it from? The scriptures. So that means they will be presenting God from an ignorant point of view. It's a teaching. So when you see somebody borrow from the Old Testament about God killing and making alive, what is he preaching? That's what he's preaching. Because it is not according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is the light of the Old Testament. And that's the emphasis here. That this was what was committed to your trust. So Christ is the substance. The moment Christ is not the revelation of God, it becomes another gospel. That's why when he wrote to Galatia, he said the same thing. Okay? He said they preach another gospel, which is not another. It's the same word he used. Heteros, this one of course, gospel, not doctrine. And he says, one of the things that another gospel does is that it unsettles you. Now, it unsettles you about God. Don't forget that the gospel is about God. It's not about you. So the minute you hear anything about God that unsettles you, what is that? Another gospel. That's tarazo. We saw that in the Greek. It means it unsettles you. All of a sudden, you are just not sure. So we can say that the gospel is how we predict God. Is that clear? The gospel makes God predictable. Now, at this point, don't forget what the gospel is. Where is the gospel? Genesis to Malachi. So, my study of the gospel from Genesis to Malachi will be that consistent character of God that I will see. That converges on his son. That's why he said to them, no, in John 5:39, Jesus said, you know, you start the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life. And, listen carefully. He says, that they will testify of me. How can someone talk like that? He says, that they will testify of me. So, he does a study of the Old Testament for them. And he says, eternal life in the Old Testament speaks of me. And before then, he says, my Father testified of me. He didn't testify of any other person. So, as the Father testifies of Jesus, he testifies of the Father. So, that means the promissory note called Christ in the Old Testament is actually not just a promise, it is a revelation of the character of God himself. Amidst distortions. That distortion is what some now preach. That Paul said they neither understand what they teach nor affirm. Do you get that? Do you understand that? That's what that distortion is what some will preach. They say, God is justice, He is righteous. God is love, He is mercy. God is love, He is just. You know, is that distortion that they preach? I say, they neither understand what they preach, nor affirm. They don't understand what they are saying. Because what is sound and healthy is the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is found in Christ. Let me see if you understand what I just said. So the gospel is those set of facts found in the Old Testament that is consistent about the character of God found in who? Christ Jesus. So, verse 16, 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying, remember that? Worthy of all acceptance, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was Paul. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all love suffering for a pattern to them that afterward believe on him to everlasting life. So, the issue will be believing, which we saw also in 14, faith. So, the element of a sound doctrine is that my response to it will be what? Faith. The moment my response to it is something else, it's not sound doctrine. What is consistent? That is, whatever I see in the Old Testament that brings a demand is not that gospel. Any message of faith in the Old Testament reveals the character of God. Is it clear to us? It reveals the character of God. That's why he will say, salvation through faith, 2 Timothy 3:15, that is in Christ Jesus. Let me pause and say something. It's important to say this. I'm going to share this on Sunday. Look at something that's happening. We are all here listening, and some guys are there making this place comfortable for us. You can see the importance of being committed to a local church. Not just attending. Attending is not commitment. Coming to hear the word is actually, coming to a church to hear the word only is irresponsible Christianity. I mean, they are here and they are believers. And they are not being paid. There's nobody being paid here. And they are there running around just making sure that you are comfortable. As people of the world, we should be found in living committed lives. When you are committed in your church, you are actually committed to lives. Because those guys out there are committed to us. Do you understand? Is that very clear? So it's irresponsible Christian living to be coming to hear the word. You are actually not growing, you are groaning. You come around and show commitment. Show commitment. It is lack of growth that makes a Christian attend church services and he is not concerned about how things are done. No. Church is not a supermarket. No. Where you say, you don't even know how things go, just get there, take what you want and get out. It's not shop, right? It's a family, it's a house. Place where activities go on by people that carry them out. God is not the one that put the light on. Is he the one? Is not even the one preaching. Amen. Salvation through faith, which is found in Christ Jesus. So, the element of faith, when I hold, that's what Isaiah, after he had said all the other things that they could never teach nor affirm. He now says, who has believed our reports? You now imagine, which report is he talking about? There were several things he said there. He uses the word report. And in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Do you know there were things he said that did not require faith? There were things Isaiah himself said. We're thinking, Lord, we'll do Law and Prophets a bit more this year. That didn't require faith. That all it required was for you to be scared. Then he now gets to chapter 53. Who has believed our report? Ask him, which of them? Do you understand? So that shows you that there should be a careful study of the Old Testament to see the gospel. So that means in Isaiah you will see the gospel and you also see what is not the gospel. Am I making any sense here? Alright. Okay. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 is profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now Hebrews 2:4. I know yesterday we got to the garden and we were there. We'll be at the garden today again and on Thursday. The challenge with that garden story, painted beautifully by Moses, because how else would you teach a nation like Israel without using garden? For 40 years, they tried and tempted God. Give them garden. So, the thing is, you know, many of us, the reason why we really didn't understand what happened in Genesis 2 and 1 is that yellow book, my book of Bible stories. And when I look at the impact that book had, it gives me some concern on how much the word of God is going out. Because I still can see that story. I can see Adam and Eve. I believe when we get to heaven, I will see the same. It was so strong because it was the early stages of one's life. My mom, who was not Jehovah's Witness, used it to teach me impact. You know? So we'll go back to Genesis in the garden. Hebrews 2:4, I'll start from 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord? Notice the word escape. And this man repeats it. The writer of Hebrews repeats the word escape in chapter 12, verse 25. And he was talking about the same thing. Yet you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not, who refused him that spoke on earth? Much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So he's talking about those who spoke from the earth. That's the law. He now speaks about that who speaks from heaven. Now, he said, how shall we escape, Hebrews 2, 3, if we neglect? Let's see another place where, okay, if we neglect so great salvation, okay, to neglect will mean to disregard it, to be careless about it. Matthew 22, verse 5, you have that word. And 1 Timothy 4, 14, where Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift. That means it's there, but you are not paying attention to it. We find the same word in Hebrews 8:9, to neglect. It's the word amelio, A-M-E-L-E-O, to disregard something. It's right there, but you chose not to take advantage of it. So, what would you call that neglect? Huh? What would you call the neglect? I'm asking the question. Unbelief, right? Which he says later. He tells us what it is later. So great salvation, which is the word soteria. So how shall we escape? Pay attention. How shall you escape if you neglect an escape? Do you understand? How shall you escape if you neglect an escape? How shall we escape if we neglect? Because he said in verse 2, if the word spoken by angels, which is the law. And you know, in the Old Testament, we have words spoken by angels that they said it was God. Because the word is Elohim. Same word. Do you know, if you go to the Old Testament, you will not know it was an angel that said it. Because there was a language issue. Elohim was used both for God and angels. And they used to call angels Lord. Do you understand? So, you will find things said by angels. So, words spoken by angels, notice what it says. That every transgression, you will wonder, an angel? Yes. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So, who spoke the words? Who gave the recompense of reward? Every transgression, angels did. Every transgression, the word transgression is the word, is there are three words that we are going to look at. The word transgression is the word parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. And disobedience. There are not two things. Transgression, which is disobedience. The word transgression means to go against. And then the word disobedience is the word parakoe, P-A-R-A-K-O-E, which is a refusal to listen well. I mean, you saw 3,000 people died. A refusal to listen well. You see the word in Romans 5:19 about Adam's transgression. Disobedience, sorry. And that's very key, because the word parokre means to refuse to listen. It's not one word, that means I'm talking consistently and you are not paying attention. Parokre. And that was used for how sin entered into the world. So there's a persistence of not heeding. Romans 5:19, which was found in Adam. You know, I told you yesterday, that take note of the word sin entered into the world. That we're not talking about one action. We're talking about several actions. That's the reason why till today, people couldn't say this is exactly what happened to Adam. Because we're not listening to the apostles. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, parakohe means disobedience. Paul used the same word in 2 Corinthians 10:6. To avenge every disobedience. She received a just recompense. This is important. Listen carefully now. This is vital. A just recompense. Just recompense is the word misapodosia. M-S-T-H-A-P-O-D-O-I-S-I-A. M-S-T-H-A-P-O-D-O-S-I-A. There's one word key there, is the word mistos. Mistos means salary. It's always identified with what you worked for. What you worked for. So when you have recompense of reward, it means what you worked for. You'll find it in Hebrews 10:35 and Hebrews 11:26. What you worked for. So, we have two things. The angels spoke, which we are going to see is the law of sin and death. Sin was in the world. And so, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the word. That is, you get what you worked for. Then he says, how shall we escape? That's the point. That is, if every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward, how shall you now escape if you neglect so great salvation? Now, salvation from what? Don't forget yesterday. From the recompense of reward. Is that very clear? Remember we said, for there to be soteria, there must be a sota. For the recompense of reward. How shall you now escape if you neglect so great salvation? So, the writer of Hebrews opens up by talking about, pay attention. Let's be a bit intelligent. In Hebrews 1:1, he talks about the prophet speaking. In Hebrews 1:2, he says God spoke in his son. Then, he highlights the speaking in his son. He calls the speaking in his son the fact that himself, alright, himself, in Hebrews 1:3, by his death, he took on the sacrifice of sins. Then he ascended and sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. That's how God spoke. Don't forget again, God speaking in his son will be what? The gospel. So, in the act of Jesus dying for our sins, we see the character of God. Don't forget that. It's not Jesus being offered to God. No, it's God being offered to sin. That's the character of God. Don't forget that. So, he now talks about angels. Who are angels? So, which of the angels said he at any time? So, he puts angels in their position. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to be ministers for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, did they minister salvation? No. Because they were not meant to minister salvation. They were to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But by the agency of unbelief, they were meant to minister to. Which is why they now had to speak to. So we have, don't forget, Hebrews 1:1, we are men, prophets. Hebrews 2:2 are angels, abnormality. And because they lack understanding, all they did to man, and before they begin to crucify angels, was to state clearly what sin was doing and what sin could have done. It is not in their capacity to understand salvation. So, that's the more reason why we couldn't trust what they gave. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord? So, we have two speakings. Hebrews 1:1, prophet speaking in types and shadows about Christ. Hebrews 2:2, angels speaking opposite of Christ. Is that clear? Is that about you? No. Is that clear about Christ? That was why a lot of things they did was called in shadows, which is darkness. Groping in darkness. Hebrews 2:2. Spoken of by the Lord. So let's see two places again where angels and the Lord spoke. Hebrews 12. Are you learning something? If you miss the first things we said, that the gospel is the character of God consistent from Genesis. Is that clear? Hebrews 12. Look at verse 18. For you have not come unto the mount that might be touched, and not with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which they by heard intruded when that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Okay? So, this came from where? Angels now, have you? But notice that the angels spoke from spiritual manifestations, which you would think from the Old Testament because of carnality, that's God. That was not God. From the beginning to the end, God's dealings are always in man. You can only find what God will say in the mouth of Moses. It's only with Moses that you will find what God will say. Pay attention. Now look at this. For they could not endure that which was commanded. Can you see 20? Can you see 20? That which was commanded. Commanded by who? Commanded by who? Very good. For in so much as a beast of the mountain shall be stoned and thrust with the head. So terrible was the sight. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion. Can you see this? So there's a distinction. That he gets to 24. Let's say 24 together. And Jesus, let's go. Of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Now we said better things from, can you remember? From Abel. I've explained that to you. He's not doing a comparison of Jesus and Abel, because faith in Christ started with who? Abel. So better things from Abel. So the better things started from Abel. Hebrews 11:4. Only Paul Only Paul and James to an extent dared to go to the garden. Everybody stayed with Abel. But Paul unbundled everything. Everybody, Peter just stayed with Noah. Just was cool with that one. That's how people started with Abel. Nice one. It was cool. You know, James. You know, basically Abraham, you know, and also mentioned James 1. He did a jump job. James 1, 12, 13, he did. But only Paul, in looking at the reason of salvation, started from the beginning. That's why Peter said, there are some things he knows that are difficult to understand. Hallelujah. Okay, so look at Hebrews 12. So the blood that speaks from Abel. Okay? So we have two speakings. We have the one spoken by angels, and we have the one spoken of or by the Lord. Are you there? Hebrews 2:4. So that means in the Bible you will find those two speakings. You know the two speakings are written. So it will be your choice to search very well and investigate. There's nothing as horrible as taking the words spoken of God, the gospel, and merging it with what doesn't affirm God and saying it's the same person. You know what Jesus told them? He asked them the question. And everybody went quiet. He said, when they were all talking about God, did you hear a voice? Everybody just budged. He said, did you hear any voice? Did you see any shape? Everybody just said, ew. So everything you have are written. Very vital. So look at this. Hebrews 2 again, verse 4. Verse 3, sorry. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard. Heard. They heard. Akuho. A-K-O-U-O. To hear, to heed, and listen. So, we heard from them who believed. So, what was the writer of Hebrews saying? Go to Luke 24. Verse 25. And that's how you know this is not Paul. Is that okay? This is not Paul. There's no fight over it. Don't start asking questions. I'm not interested. I'm just saying. I think there was a teaching we did like some years ago like that. Book of Hebrews. That will add all that argument and all that. No more. Alright, look at, Luke 24, 25. All fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory, and begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus himself did not explain the gospel from experience. He explained the gospel from the written word. That's why when he opened it, their understanding, we explored that on Thursday. When he opened it, their understanding, then they understood the scriptures. Their faith was born. That means they understood God from where? The scriptures. They didn't see God from any other place. They saw God from Genesis to Malachi. So what did they see? Salvation through faith. Are we together? Which is where? Which is where? In Christ Jesus. So, that faith can be called understanding. Huh? Very good. That faith can, to understand God, where? In Christ. In which books? The Old Testament. In fact, you didn't have any other book anyway. That's the only book they had. Are we together? Okay. That was why, by verse 52 of Luke 24, it says, and they went back with great joy. Which we're going to see on Thursday. Was proof of faith. Great joy. So they were obviously saved. before the day of Pentecost. So, what is the gospel? Genesis to Malachi contains the gospel. The character of God is found there. And when a man sees it, he is saved. This is what will make you know what people like Samson knew. And David. Look at that very funny person. A typical Old Testament prophet is Jonah. He was to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. They dropped him into the water. These guys were, he was as bad as they did divination. Divination. And they found him. Ah, that's the guy giving us problem. Divination. A friend of mine said, I think it was one story we had in 97 or so. He said that he believed that the reason why they threw him into the well was because those evil spirits didn't want those guys to be saved. It's not impossible. Because it wasn't working for God. Those guys, the thing is, it wasn't God that told them, it was to do divination. The God says you are the one. And he didn't have a Bible, but he knew it was him. So they dumped him, they had to leave this to stop this storm. It's not God that brought the storm. By the time you say it's God that brought the storm, trying to make Jonah go to Nineveh, you are saying the things you don't know, neither can you affirm them. You are confused. So immediately, they dumped into the whale. Did they know there will be a whale? That means they wanted him dead. Oh, you don't understand. So he found himself in the belly of the whale. And then he prayed. Right in the belly of the whale, he says, salvation is of the Lord. So he got to Nineveh. He now got to Nineveh preparing to condemn. As he was preparing those folks for destruction by his message. And he said, we have repented. And he says, why did you send me? He now said something instructive. I knew that you are gracious, full of kindness, slow to anger. Why did you now send me? So, those folks knew. And even in their knowledge, they were preaching guilt and condemnation. They knew. Isaiah knew. Moses knew. So, the character of God was known to them. Praise God. It was. Known to them. So, from Genesis to Malachi, we have the gospel of God found in the revelation of Jesus. So go to Romans 5:12. We are in the dispensation of grace. So, who is dispensing it? Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, remember yesterday, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Don't forget, sin, the noun, sin, the verb. Don't ever forget. There has to be an action. And death by sin. So death passed upon all, for that all have sinned, until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. My dad said this years ago. And somehow, even as a preacher, I let his statement declare my judgment. He said, don't do this. He was given an instruction. He said, because where there is no sin, there is no law. Sorry, where there is no law, pardon me, there is no sin. So, I just felt that, if you really want people to behave properly, you have to give a law. So, you create sin by giving a law. But that's not what he was saying. Of course, I don't think people knew where the verse was when he said it. Sin is not imputed. If the word elogio, E-double-L-O-G-E-O, We are going to hide verse 13 for now. That verse 13 is so sensitive that, oh my God, I can see Peter say, don't let this thing to your destruction. He said it was in the world. Don't forget the word world. You know that it's playing in the atmosphere. It was in the activities of man from Adam. And God was dealing with man. But it was not imputed. Elogio means to charge to your account. So, if God did not give the law, that means right from Adam, God was not charging sin. That couldn't have been the issue. You know, we will go, we'll probably step where the angels don't dare. But it is well. Since you have heard series 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, 5, B, 5, C should not scare you. The issue was not sin. Pay attention. He says that there was sin in the world, but it was not imputed. It's not God that imputes sin. So, God was dealing with man. There was sin in the world, and it was not imputed. Look at what was now used. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 3. Abraham believed God. It was logizomai, counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And sin was in the world. What was God counting? Faith as righteousness. So faith in what God says, no, you can't have faith without a message. So faith in what he says is what? Righteousness. And this was there sin in the world? Huh? There was sin in the world, but sin was not imputed. Sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. If I look at how Paul puts it, he says, but to him that walketh, verse 6, walketh not, but believe him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for what? Look, it's my again, righteousness. So righteousness, which is the word that I consume, righteousness is faith. Is that consistent? Is that consistent? Faith in. Now, that will be faith in what? What did Abraham believe? Galatians 3, the gospel. What is the gospel? The facts about the character of God. Are we making sense here? So that's why when you read the Old Testament, you will find God, or you will find a communication about Jesus, or about Christ. The name will not be mentioned. But as long as that character has the promise of life and a response of faith, that is Christ. Is that clear? So, faith, the only way we will know the gospel, which is the only set of facts in the Old Testament that reveal who God is, the only way we will know is the gospel is that the response is faith or unbelief. The response is never performance. Anywhere you see performance, that information is not about God. Is that very clear? Because the character of God is consistent. So we're going to hide Romans 5:13 for now. We have to hide it. Because if we don't hide it, it will take our time. So look at Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, this is vital. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the dismissal of Adam's transgression. They had not sinned after. They had sinned, but not after. Okay? Don't forget again, the word sin comes, which is the word amatano. I would say amatano is a verb. You can't have amataya, which is the noun, without a verb. There must be an action. So, is it getting clear that nobody was born a sinner? Huh? Why are you quiet now? At this stage, this should be clear. Now, we've explained this over the few years. He says, after the similitude, the word similitude is the word homoioma, H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. It means likeness. Now, when you use homoioma, Romans 1:3, we'll not stay with this book, Romans 1:3. Romans 1:23. Image made like corruptible man. Romans 6:5. Likeness of his death. Romans 8:3. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Then you have Revelation 9:7 and Philippians 2:7. So he says that Adam's sin was not Abraham's sin. The truth is that when you read Genesis, the only way we will know Adam's sin is by firstly reading the law. If you read Genesis alone and you did not read the law, you will not say, if as you got into this world, the only book you read was Genesis, and you read Adam, Abraham, you will not say he sins. Okay, I'm going back to 13. Let's go back. Let's get back to 14. So, it was not after the Adam's transgression. That means that, pay attention, by Romans 5:14, that means sin was distinguished. There is no general sin. Or what do you call it again? Pastor Wale, what is it? Original sin. That's Pastor Ayo, sorry. The Calvinist. Original sin. He said Adam sinned, and there are those who did not sin after he sinned. Do you understand? So sins were distinguished. In the sense of, sins are human actions. It's not a general bondage that we all found ourselves in. Are you pondering this at all? So sins are distinguished. But somewhat, Adam's sin seemed unique. It was unique. Because of the way Abraham was mentioned. Look at Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look at that. Look at how David described Abraham in verse 7. Whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And in verse 6, he says, he imputes righteousness without works. So, did Abraham have works? Did he? Yes. Did he believe? Huh? Which one did God take? Faith. That means God took faith. Logizomai. He took faith. Until the law Nobody was taking sin. Amen. Okay. Let's proceed further. So Hebrews 2:2 says every transgression, which we call parabasis, and disobedience. Watch this. Romans 4:15. Let's take it together. Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no parabasis. Ah. That's slightly an issue. Because we are going to see parabasis now without the law. Galatians 3:19 is the same thing. Why was the law added? Galatians 3:19 says, because of transgressions. Parabasis. Notice the word parabasis. I asked you to notice the other time. It means to go away from or go aside. So there must be what you are going away from or going aside from. Let's look at that word. You know, why that word is important for us is because in 1 Timothy 2:14, Paul says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So there was transgression before the law was given. I will see another one anyway, much later. Romans 5. I think there's even Romans 5. Okay, sorry. Romans 5:14, the similitude of Adam's transgression. Yeah, Romans 4:15 says, the law worketh wrath, for it says, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So we'll look at what that means as well. We'll look at that statement, transgression. I want you to listen very well to the meaning and see exactly what happened. You know, we have said parakoe was used for him, Romans 5:19, a persistent refusal to read. So, which is the reason why we can't find anything in his moral action. Because parakoe is not merely a moral action. It can happen without a moral action. Because the issue is not hidden. A persistent refusal to listen. Now look at this. It's taken from the word parabaino, which is where you get it from. P-A-R-A-B-A-I-N-O. Now look at how it's been used. Matthew 15 verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the fathers? Look at how he explains it. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They wash not. Now, Acts 1:25 is a word hardly used. But notice what happens after. They wash not. That he may take part of the ministry, this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. That is, he did not take, he abandoned something. He abandoned it. So he says that the person they have chosen here, which is Matthias, will go to his place. So he left it alone. Something was not done. It's not that something was done. Are you listening? Let's go further. So it is, parabaino is a refusal. That's why Paul says that Adam was not deceived. He calls it a refusal. So something was refused. To have a transgression, something was refused. You see, if we understand this, redemption will be clear to us. You know, if you ask many people, what did Adam do? They'll just be looking. No, the issue is, what did he not do? Someone listen to what I say here. Don't forget again, it will have to do with the character of who? God. The minute you take the whole story away from the character of God, you are talking a fable. It must be focused on the person of God in Christ. Very consistent. Now, let's see this. Go back to Romans 5. Are you learning something? Who, he says, is the figure of him that was to come. Okay, the figure of him that was to come. Is the word to pose. I know we've explained this over and over. The word to pose, which is used 16 times, means a pattern. A pattern. Something that you can follow after. You see it used in Romans 16:17. An impression. When you see the word to pose, something he's seen or heard of. Something is seen or heard of. So, Adam's transgression, his refusal, now became what can be seen and heard of. What can be seen and heard of. So when you see the spread of sin, it's not an imaginary thing. It came in the action of man. It must be seen and heard of. A pattern. When you say him that is to come, bad translations, it's deceitful. Because in verse 15, he was talking about the sin. It's not Christ. It is the word melo, which is a verb. Melo is used for actions, things to happen. So, in Adam, we now find a pattern. A pattern of things to come. Human actions that abandon what God said. Adam now became, those actions of Adam now became the two poles. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not that he implanted sin into humanity. Is it clear? Remember yesterday, our Ephesians 2, which we are going to explore, according to the course of this world, okay, remember, among whom we had our conversation. Do you understand? Our conversation. When you hear the world and you hear flesh, you are saying the same thing. Okay? So, notice, verse 15. But not as the offense. The word offense is paraptoma. Remember paraptoma? Can you remember paraptoma? A step away. Can you remember? A step away. So look at the word he uses. Paraptoma. Then in verse 16. He used paraptoma twice. The offense. Okay? And that's by one sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one. So when he says one sin, he uses amatano, an action. A step away from an action. Verse 16. So is the gift. For the judgment by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You see, paraptoma. Many, many, many. So, we now have one pattern of many offenses. But you know that for whichever offense, there's just one gift. Are you following? Let's go by it again. Adam had a transgression, a step, an action that was wrong. Others also did that was not what he did. But there are many offenses, but just one gift of justification. So that means there was just one cure to numerous actions in humanity. Are you following what we're saying here? One. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace. Again, the word offense is the word paraproma. Deep offenses are reigned in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. For as by the offense of one, paraptoma, upon all to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of us. So, how did Adam come upon men? He became a pattern. Can you see it? Are you following? It became a pattern. It is not in the bath. Because if it's in the bath, he will call it paraptoma. Are you following this? It's not bath. It is in actions. In steps taken. Definite steps. So, look at 19. So, you find the word paraptoma again, use Romans 4:25. It was delivered up for our offenses. Our offenses. Romans 4:25, Romans 5:15, Romans 5:16, Romans 5:17. So, our offenses, is it what Adam did? No! What Adam did was what? An example. Do you understand? Is it clear? Okay. Verse 18 and 20, the same thing. Now, look at 19. So, when you say amatano, he again explains it as steps. For example, that's the same word you will find in Galatians 6:1. If any be overtaken by a fault, that's not a mutual, a fault. That is, he did something that we all saw. Is that clear? It's the same scripture, it's the same word used that if they shall fall away. It's the same word paraptoma. All he's saying there, it is impossible to lead them to repentance. He's saying that if he does something wrong, it doesn't affect him. There is an impossibility. Praise God. That's what he's saying. That when a believer who has been saved sins, it's impossible to renew him again. That's what he's saying. Amen. God save us. Verse 19. You will notice that the word paraptoma is used in the plural. I'll give you the scriptures quickly. Matthew 6:14. Forgive us our trespasses. Matthew 6:15. Is that nature or actions? Very good. Mark 11:25 and Mark 11:26. Of course, Romans 4:25, the one I read earlier. Romans 5:16. Romans 5:16. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:18. Romans 5:20. Somebody asked me, why do you give so much references? So that you understand it. That's the reason. You go and read it. So you will see. Okay? Romans 11:11. Romans 11:12. Now, very critical. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not counting their paraptomas. Is that clear? Is that very clear? And has committed to us the message of catalage. reconciliation. Because the paraptoma will be abandonment from God. Are you there? Let's go further. Galatians 6:1. If any be overtaken by a paraptoma. Ephesians 1:7. Forgiveness of paraptoma according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 2:13. A very key scripture. Okay, Ephesians 2:1. Sorry. We're dead in trespasses and sins. So that yesterday. Trespasses, paraptoma, which is the sin. Ephesians 2:5. Same thing. Now look at Colossians 2:13. It's a key scripture. Are you learning something? Don't overrate what Adam did. That's where I'm going. Is that okay? He didn't do anything. What did he do? Did he slap his wife? Or his wife slapped him? Colossians 2:13. Just say, don't overrate. I didn't mean to say it that way. I want to say, don't be confused. That's just it. Colossians 2:13. Are you being dead in trespasses, in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh? Are he quickened together with him? Notice what he says. I've been forgiving you all, oh Jesus. You see that? He called that forgiveness being quickened together with Jesus. So when we get to forgiveness, you will love God. You will love God. Yes, sir. That scripture is so critical. In fact, the way Paul penned it down, your hands will shake when you read it. Having forgiven us. That's why those who don't understand it can't understand why the forgiveness is forever. They don't understand what we are talking about. Just pay attention. So, go back to Romans 5:19. For if by one man's disobedience, parakoe, what's parakoe again? Refusal to heed. If by one man's disobedience, many were made. There are two words used for made. There's pohio. Pohio is to create. But it doesn't use pohio. It uses the word katistemi, to set in order. That makes a lot of sense. How did he set men in order? By being an example. It's not they were made. Because if that scripture means that by being born into this world you are made a sinner, then it will subsequently now mean that all men are saved. But the challenge you are going to have with that is this, let me tell you. And this is it. This is how I handled one universalist in January. And then let's assume that what it means is that in Adam, everybody was made a sinner. So he was now saying, the same way, he didn't do anything, everybody is made righteous in Christ. I said, no. Adam, you can trace it to the fact that Adam gave back to everybody. At what point was Jesus coming? She was now wondering what I was saying. I said, calm down. You can say everybody came from Adam. So we became sinners. Are you saying that every other person, everybody has also come from Jesus? He said no. So how are we made righteous by Jesus? No, that's what I'm saying. Because if you say, by Adam, everybody is made a sinner. Okay, I accept. So how is everybody made righteous through Jesus? By Jesus, how? Are you saying everybody came through Jesus? He said no. So, how? I said, so it shows you that what happened to Adam was a choice given to everyone, just like Jesus. Katistemi, to put in place for. So, the same way the gift of righteousness is offered through Jesus, which we have seen, was also offered to Abraham. Because it's in the gospel of God. It's the same way sin and righteousness, we are going to see shortly, both come from information. What are we talking about? The tree. Remove tree. You are not a Jew. Take the word knowledge. It will take knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge. That was why the first question he asked Adam is, who told you? Knowledge. Stop eating mango. So, katistemi shows there's a choice is in view. Katistemi means to give authority to put in place for. So, Adam's action put things in place for humanity. But if it was that automatic, how come his son was called righteous? By faith. Which we said yesterday, we're told it on Thursday morning. God made man, see, God made man a believing spirit. That was why it was possible for man to not believe. All children. You know, Jesus taught faith as being a child. Man is made a believing spirit. To believe. Because believing is an act of your will. Are you there? Okay, let's go further. So, Romans 5:19, is it clear to us? Is it clear to us? So, we can also call Adam's transgression, which is a tupos, a gift. Something you can follow or you may not follow. Okay? Is that clear? Now look at 1 Timothy 2 again, 14. It says, Adam was not deceived. Paul is strong. Adam was not deceived. Is the word apatao. He was not deceived. That word is often used for a delusion. A delusion. Sorry, there's a text I want to quickly check. Just came to my mind now. I think it's the same one. Yep. Let no one deceive you with words. You can't use the word apatao without words. There was an information. Okay? James 1:26. Same thing. He was not deceived. Because if you are deceived, then you can't have a transgression. Does it make sense? But it says the woman, is a very, very technical area. Being deceived is the word exapatao, thoroughly deceived. Exapatao, thoroughly deceived. Deceived into the transgression. So, who acted first? Did you notice that the serpent did nothing to Adam? Pay attention. The serpent did nothing to Adam. What the serpent did was always to Eve. So, she was deceived into the transgression. So, it was possible for Eve not to have done anything wrong. It's a bit technical. Let's leave it slow. Let me slow down. Let me slow down. There's one lie that it was the woman who tricked the man. That means that you have also been exapatal. You'll be exapatal. No. Let's get back here. If our Paul said this so that you will know that it was Adam. The woman was deceived into the transgression. It was obvious that something had happened to Adam before the serpent came. Just calm down, we'll get there. Calm down, we'll get there. The woman being deceived into it. Let's go further. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Look at 3. The same word was used. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent exapatal beguiled Eve, through his subtlety. You know that? You know the point is that, in using this example, Paul was using what the serpent did. Pay attention to this. This is vital. As an example of what the false apostles with the false gospels do. He calls them angels of Satan. So, the issue in the garden was a message. We are about to see a glimpse of what it was. You know God never changed. Can you see God never changed? You don't submit. I'm saying quiet. Okay. Look at this. Before you go to 3, look at 4. For if he that cometh preaches another, can you see it? 2 Corinthians 11, can you see it? Another. Whom we have not preached. So it is coming to what? To corrupt a message. Whom we have not preached. Okay? And if you receive another spirit which you have not received, another God we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. What is he talking about? He said, through his subtlety, so should your mind be corrupted. So, the focus here is another gospel, right? In God's name. You were sleeping, wake up now. Look at the word subtle. It's crafty. In Luke 20:23, and very vitally, 1 Corinthians 3:19. 1 Corinthians 3:19 is used for those who handle the gospel deceitfully. 2 Corinthians 4:2. That word crafty is used for false teachers. Ephesians 4:14 is consistent. To have a false gospel, there must have been a gospel. So, you will see that it was not a pro-action, it was a reaction. Are we making sense? To corrupt is the word Peril, you know that already. P-T-H-E-I-R-O. To bring to ruin. To corrupt your minds. The same word in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 2 Corinthians 10:5. Your understanding. Now, your understanding of who? Your understanding of who? God. Which is who? Which is what? The gospel. So what did the devil corrupt the mind of Eve over? Our understanding of God, which is the, are we following this? Now listen carefully. It says to corrupt your mind from the simplicity. I remember somebody was arguing years ago, said, These people are just making the gospel. The simplicity. He thought simplicity is the way you dress. Nonsense. The word simplicity is the word aplotis. Everywhere you see the word aplotis, Romans 12:8, he that giveth, let him give with simplicity. 2 Corinthians 1:12 and 2 Corinthians 1:11, generosity. 2 Corinthians 8:2, generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:11-13, generosity. That is, there is no condition attached. Ephesians 6:8 and Colossians 3:2, talking about employees with their employer, no conditions. Free mind, there's nothing without condition. So, what was Satan corrupting in the mind of Eve? God's character of what? Generosity. So that means what was replaced in the mind of Eve will be works. That is, something is demanded of you, whereas nothing was demanded of you. Let me see if I'm following this. Are you following it? So can you see, nothing has changed with God, though. The gospel is about God's generosity, from which his mind was corrupted. Now that's deception. But in the case of Adam, what is it called? Refusal to what? Heed. Let me say that, following this. So Adam, and in both ways, will replace what they did as works. You know, it's not difficult to locate what happened to Adam. No, it's not. As works. So works will be in view. Will be that just like now, the issue was not. The issue will be not seeing God as who he is. That man will be a recipient, not a performer. This is consistent with God. It's not a case of Jesus came, then God changed the way. No. That is how it had been from the beginning. I submit to say to you today, don't jump out with it, but listen. It has never been God expecting perfection from man. Take that away from your mind. It has never been. Not once. So, by the time you saw Jesus in the four Gospels, apart from the fact that he came to die for our sins, which we will see what it refers to, you will now see in him the character of God. Did it amaze you that he didn't have issues with sinners? He didn't. You know, if many of us are here to understand the fact that Jesus is God. He is God. There is God. You know, he was with sinners. So that you could see something happen. He will be eating with them, and Pharisees will be grumbling. I've not come. Now, see how he preaches. I've not come to call the righteous. And you see that their caller, Reverend caller, the righteous, for sinners to repent. And they are grumbling. Then in that one day, he called him and said, do you know the things in your heart? Everyone says, that's God. Amen. Okay, let's move on there. So let's get to Genesis 2. Can we go to Genesis 2 now? So the word simplicity means what? You know, it's where we have James 1:5, applause. Who gives unto all men liberally? You can call it liberality. From Genesis, he never demanded. If anything, man acted when he should not have acted. So, the disobedience will be what? Failing to heed to God's singular character of generosity. That's why John will say, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth, or grace which is the truth. He had called him the word in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, till verse 14. He now called him grace. Grace which is the truth. He didn't say came by Jesus or given. If he had not given by Jesus, that would mean there was an option. It's the word to exist. Grace now existed on two feet. Don't forget, it was the same in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. So, that character is consistent. See, but that is when I say, grace will change you. Please, they are just confused. Don't let anybody confuse you. It's another gospel through the back door. Through the back door. And like we say in those days, escape through the back door. This is the character. The minute you begin to first of all see it as you changing, you are going back to the serpent. The issue that should first change is how you see him. Because the first sin, parabasis, was knowledge. Is that not clear now? Is it clear now? Don't worry, thoughts, we explore something. It was knowledge. So, that was why Moses gave two kinds of knowledge. The knowledge of sin, and then he gave them the word of faith. One projected God, the other projected man. Is that clear? So let's go to Genesis quickly. Verse 2, chapter 2. Are you learning something? You know, I told you on Saturday that we just cleared that one, those letters, so that those who want to read them can go and read them and study them. But then you have Ephesians, and you want to read letters to the seven churches. You should know you have a problem. And you have Colossians. And he said, let him that hear what it really says to all the churches. Where are we? Verses 2. We were somewhere yesterday. Okay, verse 18. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. The word is told, T-O-W-B. It is not good that man should be alone. They say, I will make and help meet, which means, let's go back to something. When it says, I will make, okay, need to see that, is the word nagad. Nagad is not to create. No. That would have been bara. I will make is the word nagad. Now see where the word nagad can be found. Genesis 3:11. Who nagad thee that you are naked? Who told you? Can you see? So I will make an help with me. I will tell him. Are you there? Are you following? So when you're here, there was parakore. Is it clear to you? I will make an help me. Then chapter 9 verse 22. He told his two brethren without. He told Nagad. Chapter 12, verse 18.
Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?
What are you looking for to?
Chapter 14 verse 13. And told Abraham the Hebrew. Chapter 21 verse 16.
And she went and sat her down against him a good way up, as it were a bow shot, and she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she said, and lifted up her voice.
22, verse 20, I think. It was told Abraham.
So, can we, let's use the word to tell. Genesis 21, Genesis 2:18, can we go?
I will tell him, or I will inform him and help meet for him. Does it make sense?
Okay.
Now, before now, we have seen the tree of life. So he now goes for us and look, I will inform him of an help. We are still saying the same thing.
I was at the word help yesterday. So when you said, who told you? And God told him this, and he says, who told you? So who told you today will be another gospel? Right?
Correct?
Okay, so what God said will be the gospel.
Ah.
Okay, look at the word help. I said it yesterday, you must have checked it yourself. The word help, rather than use the word helper, it is because of the helper.
My helper.
The word help, I told you to go and check the entire Bible. Did you see it used for women?
It's not used.
It's the word ezar. It is used for a deliverer from danger or an enemy.
We are going to run through the scriptures together. Are you ready?
So by now, something must have happened. Right? By now, Adam must have been doing something. There must have been paraptoma. That was not the issue. Is it clear? Are you following? Okay. Let's see this now. Quickly. The word Nezar, Azar, Exodus 18:4. The name of the other was Eleazar, the God of my father, my help. And delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Verse 4. My help. From the sword of Pharaoh. And impending danger. Then you find Deuteronomy 33. Verse 27. The Lord God is a refuge underneath the everlasting lamps. He shall thrust out of the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. So he calls him thy refuge, which is the word help. Are you there? Okay. Now see, Deuteronomy 33:26. Who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in the excellency on the sky. Verse 7. Let his hands be subject for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Be his help from his enemies. 29. Okay. That's 29. 29 says, the shield of thy help, which is the sword of thy excellency. So it's always a deliverance from an impending danger or an enemy. Psalm 20 verse 2. So you can think that can't be the woman.
Ah.
Psalm 20 verse 2. It's not help like house girl. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen the house of Zion. Psalm 33 verse 20. O Lord, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Have you observed that the help is used for God? Have you observed it? Okay. Psalm 70 verse 5. So that you can go and check it up yourself. Psalm 70 verse 5. And poor and needy make haste. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord. Psalm 89 verse 19.
Thou speakest in the vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon the mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Psalm 115, verse 9, 10, and 11. Psalm 115, verse 9, 10, and 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, he is thy help and thy shield. Trust in the Lord, he is thy help and thy shield. 11, he is thy help and thy shield. Psalm 121, you know that one now. I lift up my eyes unto thee, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 5. 146, verse 5. When you are like David, you use the word Nagad very well. Verse 5. Who made the heaven and the earth and all that therein, and keepeth truth forever. No, sorry. Happy is he that the God of Jacob is his help. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 5. They are all ashamed of the people that could not profit them or be an help nor profit, for in shame and also in reproach. Ezekiel 12:14. That's a rebuke. I will scatter toward every wind all about him to help him and all his band, and I will draw the sword of them. Daniel 11:34. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. Hosea 13 verse 9. That's the last one. Hosea 13 verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. So, the word a help meet will be what? Deliverance? Can that be salvation? Salvation? Okay? So, that help is not the woman. That help will be found in God himself. So, it is not good. Something must have been happening. It is not good. So, I will make known as though that was the first time. So when you hear parakoe, that means there was a persistence. So Satan did not know until chapter 3. Are you there? Okay, let's go further. Did I say that? That was so early, but you can keep it somewhere. So look at chapter 2. Let's follow the utterance of God, and on Thursday we'll unbundle a few. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, verse 2, Genesis 2, God ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Now you can imagine, how can he repeat the word God 2 times? God rested from what God has made. When you get to the epistles, the rest was for man. Amen. Is that clear? The rest was for man. So, that abandonment will be to self. So, the sin was first located in works. Right? Come on. So, let's look at the questions, the golden questions, then we'll close there. The golden question, Genesis 3. Adam, where are you? Was the first question. So, who moved? He moved from what? The voice. From the voice. Can we call that the gospel? Can we call it the gospel? You don't have to go, okay, an angel. Every transgression and disobedience. Adam, where are you? Say, I heard your voice and I hid. Are you there? So, that means that God does not go when a man sins. He does not separate because a man has sinned. That's an important truth about him. Amen. So, Adam, now let me ask you. Okay, let's go further. When it was not good, God was talking to him. So he goes. And then he says, I heard your voice and I was afraid. Fear. How would you be afraid of someone who all along was living with you? Another God. Something was said. Something was believed. He was deceived. Adam was not. I was afraid. I hid myself. Look at the next statement. Who told you that you were naked? So, he was naked all along. And God didn't say it. Are you there? Who told you? Where are you? Who told you? Before, what have you eaten? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you should not eat? I will say that tree is knowledge. Have you eaten? So sin will be found, as we see further, in the interactions between Adam and Eve. We'll see that. So, in closing, there was now someone who knew of the help. His name was Abel. Hallelujah. He heard of the help, and Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Noah, or Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. By faith. So faith is God's making in man. Believe who I am. Believe the gospel about me. So man is a believing spirit, and he still is, as we go further. I'm done.